I put this back. Can I steal that? All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. Man, it's good to see you guys. It's good to get a chance to come together and worship this morning and celebrate a bit as we get ready to go out then after we're done here and do a little bit of service downtown at Taste of Durango. Super excited about what's going on there, the opportunity that we have for sure. And as we get rolling this morning, hey, I want to just draw attention real quick. You know, you saw him here up on stage, but we've got a state champion in our midst this morning for sure, right? I don't know if you heard or not, but the Durango boys 4x8 relay team not only won the 4A state championship, but did it with a school record and a state record, and all right, and 6th fastest time in the nation. Yeah, I mean, that's just hammered down. And so we celebrate that for sure. And I was thinking about that for sure. I know exactly where Marcus got it, though. I mean, not only does it help that I have mom and dad and everything, but remember just kind of rolling him around when he's a baby on the bed, you know, wrapping him up. I think that was it. I think that gave him some adrenaline rush on that and that he could get after it. I think, Ken, honestly, you and I jacking with him to Abby's chagrin, as a brand new baby, I think that was what it was, all right? So anyway, that's a big deal. So anyway, we're excited about that for sure. I was thinking, too, about the significance of a Bible and what that really means, and being able to hand that to your kid and telling them that you're there and that you're proud of them and that it's important, so much so that literally, these are the first two Bibles I got as Christ follower. This one my mom gave me, and she gave me this about a month after I became a Christian. And I remember her handing me this and praying with me that it would have some kind of impact in my life. It's a treasure to me. And then this came from the guy who mentored me and is kind of my spiritual dad. And inside this Bible, he wrote and talked about how he would pray that God would use this in my life to raise me up to do the work of kingdom ministry. And so when you look at that group of kids that are, who knows what God does here, right? I mean, you think about the words that Johnny shared for just a minute up here. I mean, that's the first message he's ever preached in front of a group of people. I mean, who knows how many times he's going to get a chance to do that in the years to come, right? I mean, he's pretty good. All right, I mean, some of you are going, Dobish, let's just like not add to that, right? I mean, it was that good. And so you start thinking about it because seeing about 3 hot minutes, right, those kids that were sitting up here getting Bibles are going to be the kids that we're praying over because they graduated and they're going off to college and they're going on to the next chapter. Does that make sense? And so all of this plays together in how we build on this deal so that way we come and we don't just let the next generation just kind of move past. I mean, church, let's be straight for a minute. Next generation matters to us here at First Baptist, right? I mean, agree with me for just a second on that one, will you? Okay? Because honestly, if we can see students come to faith, we impact the next generation. Does it make sense? Okay? That's important to us here. We invest that way. We celebrate that. And that's why we gather together this morning to celebrate and to just thank the Lord for what he's doing. Some scripture to just kind of give us a springboard as we move forward this morning. Psalm 145, talking about this idea of celebrating. Psalm 145 says this: "They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds." And I want to stop for a minute on that and just draw your attention to what's going on just right before it. In this particular psalm, because if you were to roll back just a couple verses, it says, "One generation shall commend your works to another." In some ways, that's what we're trying to do here, is that we're trying to stand in front of a group of kids and say, it is worth being a Christ follower. Okay? I mean, it's one thing to have somebody come to faith, and this is what we're looking to do. You know, as a matter of fact, spent time this morning. My morning started way early with a text stream with a guy whose God's spirit was at work in his heart this morning, drawn him into relationship with him. And early this morning, he came to faith. Okay? Right? This is what we're talking about, and this is what we want to see happen. And it's one thing for somebody who's brand new in the faith to stand up and say, I love Jesus and I love to follow him. It's another thing when somebody who's been around the block three or four times in their life continues to look at you and say, it's worth following Jesus. Okay? So then that way, when a kid like Noah Clement stands up here and talks about and talks well about the fact that, hey, don't be who you're not. Trust the Lord and find the peace that he's going to give you. I mean, think about how many high school seniors can talk like that. Okay? And that comes, all right, because there are people who've come before him and let him know that it's worth being a Christ follower. And so the Bible here says that one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. Church, there is a mandate for us to remember the work and the movement of God and then celebrate that. We're not very good at that. Right, we move to the next thing. We move along on that, and we're to celebrate. And it says, then they shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. We celebrate this morning, right? Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes, very simply, he just says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Celebrate the Lord and what he's doing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Though you've not seen him, you love him. Church, let's be honest about this, right? None of us have had that face-to-face encounter with Jesus yet. But yet, because though we have not seen him, we love him. And though you do not see him, now see him, you believe in him, and here it is, and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And then in Romans chapter 11, as we talk about this idea of celebrating, when we think about God, it's from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. That's what we're trying to do this morning. That's where we're going this morning. Honestly, sometimes, and this has come up, I mean, we've been down at Taste now for 4 or 5 years, and I still have folks who walk up to me and go, Jeff, why would we do that? I mean, this is why we do that, right? We go down because we want to make much of him. We want to go down and we want to let Durango know that we're for this community, not just simply for the fact of being, you know, for the community, but it's because of who God is, what he's done, how he's changed our lives that we want to go forward and we want to serve this town and this community and we want to celebrate what it is that he's doing. Now, when we start thinking about celebrations for just a minute, there's some things that are fairly common to celebrations, right? When we go celebrate, regularly we celebrate a person, don't we? A birthday, right? An anniversary. We're celebrating a person in that moment, okay? We take that moment. They're special to us all year long, but there's a day that we set aside, don't we, to celebrate and let them know just exactly what they mean. And so that we celebrate people. We celebrate provision, don't we? We celebrate the way God comes in and provides something that we would think there's just no way to get there from here, and he provides for us, right? Hey, can I stop? I'm going to put a picture up here for just a minute. It's a picture of Junior Obregon. He's a mission partner of ours down in Nicaragua. This is his new truck, right? First Baptist, you bought that truck. You bought that truck. It's a couple years old. Doesn't have a ton of miles on it, and it's going to turn him loose to run campus ministry throughout the country of Nicaragua, 5 different campuses across the country, influencing the next generation of people in Nicaragua. And you all said, you know what? I can give up $100. I can give up a couple $100. I can give up $5, and I'm going to make sure Junior has a car that actually runs. And let me just tell you something. This is how this thing works. If you knew his previous truck, none of you would have driven that truck. I mean, you wouldn't have given that truck to your worst enemy. And he was tooling around the country in that thing. And y'all rallied. And you rallied in that moment. Our man, Rob Gerst, down here went down. They went shopping together. They looked at cars. They trusted the Lord, and God provided in a way where we're not only on the trade-in on Junior's old truck, and the fact that they gave any money on that's amazing. And then to come this way and to provide this particular vehicle, we celebrate that. We celebrate God's provision. Okay, you're probably thinking about ways God's provided for you. Okay, the way he's come through. We celebrate those providential moments in our life too, don't we? Those moments where God, you just know that you experienced a situation and you know that God put all of those pieces together to have those events collide, right? We celebrate God doing that. We celebrate when God gives us those moments, right? Those places, those particular places in our lives, right? And as a church family, it's things like last night with Treasure Ministry doing their pirate event, right? And being able to take some folks from this church and from this community and go and put on an event and celebrate. I mean, we celebrate a group of people in our community that otherwise can be forgotten. Those particular moments that God gives us, right? Again, Taste of Durango is one of those moments. Why would they let First Baptist Church of Durango lead the kids' ministry at Taste of Durango if it isn't for God giving us that particular moment? We thank him for that, okay? We thank him for the fact that we can open our doors at Halloween and have 1,000 people in our basement. We thank him and we celebrate for the fact that Night to Shine can go off with a couple hundred guests and caregivers being ministered to, God giving us that moment. We celebrate the particular moments of God sending tens and tens and hundreds of kids on mission trips through the efforts of this church. We celebrate those moments. We celebrate because it's God at work building his kingdom. He's good to us that way. We ultimately, when we talk about this idea of celebrating people, when we bring that up for a minute, we celebrate, we've talked about it, we celebrate story. Story matters to us because God's at work writing story. And I want to take a couple minutes here as we talk about this idea of celebration. I'm going to invite a friend here in just a minute to come up, and she's going to share her story. It's been a journey, hasn't it, Allison? It's been a heck of a journey. We got a lot to celebrate this morning, don't we? And you guys are going to love this as Allison. Why don't you come up this way? You're going to grab a place on this stool. But as she comes, I'm going to put a question up on the screen, and I want you guys to think about this as she's speaking, because we're going to come back to this in a minute. And this is just simply this. What happened yesterday? Okay, I want to keep this as close and as real as possible. What happened yesterday or last week in your journey with Christ that would cause you to celebrate? What is it that you would celebrate? Where have you seen him work? Where have you seen him move? Where have you seen him be faithful? Where have you seen him provide? Where's that providential moment? Again, yesterday, this last week. Okay, we can go back, and rightfully so, we can go back to our day of salvation, and we can celebrate that like crazy. But let me ask you something. Where has God been at work and on the move in your life this week? Because we want to celebrate that. And I want you to think about that. I want you to dwell on that. Let that spin in your mind as we get to know Allison here just a little bit better. And I'm so excited about this. I've been looking forward to this for the last few days. Are you excited?
I'm excited.
Yeah, are you sure?
Yeah,
is it like fun excited? Like I'm at like Disney World, or is just like nervous excited?
A little nervous excited.
Okay,
yes.
All right. Yeah, like petrified. You know, like
yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Hey, you know, so we're just stoked you're here, Allison. You got to know this much: since you've been coming to the church, when God brought you here, and we're gonna let you talk about that in just a minute, you've made First Baptist better. God has used you in our community to love him more, to trust him more, and to seek him more, because we get to watch you do that on a regular basis. So why don't you do this? Why don't you start and just kind of let the folks know kind of what was going on in life that eventually, or that led to you coming here for the first time, okay? And then we'll use that as a springboard to talk more about what God's done in your life, all right?
Okay. So some of you know some of my story, and I told some of it when I was baptized. Just kind of highlight, I was brought up in the church. However, very Christian mom, not Christian dad. Very, very abusive in any way you can think of, which led me to kind of look for love in many places. None of them good. Alcohol, men. Finally, when I reached my late 40s, which most people turn to drugs when they're younger, but no, I waited. I turned to drugs, and my drug of choice was cocaine, which then, of course, makes you need money, and I went about it the wrong way to get it for my what was making me happy. I'd go to counseling, and I just want to be happy. So eventually, my crime was caught. When it first came out, I had to tell Mom right off the bat, tell my husband at the time, who obviously knew about the drugs but didn't know about everything else. And I ended up being on suicide watch because that just sent me into despair. I didn't, you know, how am I going to live with this? So my husband and Mom drove me to Grand Junction. I lived in Eagle, which is close to Vail. There wasn't a bed at the psychiatric hospital, so I went to just the regular hospital. It was ICU, because that's what they do with you when you're on suicide watch. They watch you. And my nurse that I talked to most there was actually a recovering cocaine addict. First thing that God was pursued. God pursued me. I mean, and I can still remember. I mean, I never didn't believe in him, and I can remember praying, but I never made the right choices. I made very bad choices, because I didn't, although I believed, I didn't really walk in that belief. So then I ended up at the psychiatric hospital, who mainly helped to get me, as they said, get me ready to face my jail time, because they knew I'd be going to jail. And one of the nurses one night, as I was taking my meds, put her arm around me and said, maybe Jesus will use this for something. Okay. Not sure what, but maybe. I was like, okay, maybe. Then when I was discharged to, well, actually arrested, I was, Grand Junction Police came and arrested me. Supposedly, Eagle County was going to come get me that day. Those plans were never, they lied to me, which it is what it is. But going to jail for the first time and being in Mesa County Jail as opposed to Eagle County is very hard, because I wasn't a bad person. I didn't even know a convicted felon. Didn't even know him before this happened to me. But the person who discharged me, the social worker that day, who I'd never met before, happened to be a person who had committed the same crime as me. Okay, there could be life after this. So I was in Mesa County for a couple of days. They finally came and took me to Eagle County. As I went to my cell, my roommate had a Bible and the daily bread. Yeah. So I started reading the Bible with her and started going to Bible study there, and just kind of felt like I actually had my husband bring my Bible to me, because through my life I kept, you know, would go back to church and yes, I'm going to do it this time. And then things would happen. I'd just derail, hugely derail. It wouldn't take long, a year or so. When you said earlier, been around the block 3 or 4 times, I've been around probably 1,000. So anyway, that really got me into started my faith, really got me going down the road. I was lucky enough to be sentenced to Hilltop House here in Durango. Had an 8-year sentence, which actually I did about 4.5 years. I was discharged last year in February. Yeah. And I asked my roommate, who was a non-practicing Catholic, like, I really kind of want to go to church. She's like, well, there's a lot of people that'll go to First Baptist because it's in walking distance. It wasn't just by chance that I ended up here at all. God brought me here.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us, share with the folks kind of what God's been doing since then, though, right? Since that time.
Since that time, there's been ups and downs, don't get me wrong. It's been a journey. And I have to remember, I have a couple sayings on my, one in my bedroom that my roommate got for me, and then one that she has by her front door that I look at. The first one I'm going to share, though, is on my bedroom wall, that 2 Chronicles 2:15, the battle is not yours but God's. And no matter if you're in faith, he gives you battles because he wants to draw you closer to him, is what I think. Impacting the next generation. Jeff said earlier, I'm not really the next generation. I'm 54. I'm kind of that older generation. However, this church has impacted me in ways. I started in women's small groups first, and I've made some of the best friends that I could ever have. I've gone to women's retreats. I'm in an amazing small group right now that without those, you can't. I just don't think you can get to where I'm at now. I had a friend one night, I went to her house a couple years ago for dinner, and she's like, how do you know that you won't do drugs again? It's like, God, I have no wanting to. And I actually, earlier I said I was looking for happiness, and I'm happy. Not all the time. Yeah, I mean, ask Joy. There's times I come home from work, and I'm like, oh. But I am happy. So God's tested me. I have, you know, a hurt wrist that I hurt 2.5 years ago that we still can't find what's wrong with it. I've had 2 surgeries. I'm seeing a doctor in Denver now that hopefully will find what is causing me pain. My job has given me major, major reasons for if I were to go back to drugs, I probably would. but I'm not. I mean, I'm not. This is, you know, what he does in my life. I now have friends that pray with me. I pray. I get in the word. I, you know, do things that I would have never done before. A month ago, I was demoted at work for reasons I'm not even sure of, which came with a huge decrease in pay. But I'm not so worried about it. I know Joy tells me all the time, God will provide. She said it this morning even, and I know he will. And I also know, you know, he's saying earlier, Jesus paid it all. I know that if you ask him for forgiveness, he will forgive you. Amen. I couldn't have this feeling in my heart right now if he hadn't. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have made this my church home for 5.5 years now. And he's just growing me. I'm, you know, involved in ministry. I'm involved in, you know, trying to, I tell people, I mean, I don't think there's anyone on the production floor in consumer packaging at Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory that doesn't know I'm a Christian, because I'm not quiet about it. Yeah. You know, and it's, I don't know if I'd ever make a difference in their life. I just hope that I can, and I pray that someday, you know, I know there's a lot for me to do in the future. I'm hoping to get involved in jail ministry and be able to, you know, I know that when I first came here, one of the counselors that I was with actually had been a Hilltop person, and that person to talk to meant more to me than anyone else I could have talked to because she had been there. Yeah. I'm in school. I graduate with a bachelor's in November, which, yeah, which has been perseverance. I'm going online, which if anyone's done online college, you have to persevere, and I've got a 3.95 grade average, so I'm doing something right. And then earlier someone said, relax, and you have to find your peace in him. You know, one of the hardest days I had at the day I got demoted and the day after, I stayed home from work because I just wasn't sure. It's one of those days I wasn't sure what to do and what where I was going to go and what I was going to do. And for Christmas, Joy's mom made this little booklet of how Jesus loves me and is for me. And I just read that over and over and over again.
That's good. So, Joy, as you, as you're moving forward in your journey, right, you continue to pursue him. How do we as your family, your friends, how do we pray for you? How do we encourage you to continue forward in this life that God's given you?
Pray for peace and strength and that I can handle all these battles that he throws my way. And I know they are to get me closer and closer and closer to him because he's seen me so many times come to him and then just go full tilt, run the opposite way and do as bad of things as anyone can imagine. So I know he doesn't want that to happen again. He pursued me too hard this time to be like, no, he's not. I'm not going to lose you. And just, you guys are always here for me. You're always, I walk in this door and I get hugs from so many people. And I say, it's just, you know, when I first started coming here, my mom actually asked me, she was like, so do they know what you did? Thinking that would make a difference. And I'm like, yes, Mom, most, the women especially in Bible study do because I'm open about it, you know? And I'm like, yes, she's just like, wow. I'm like, Mom, that's the way churches and Christians are supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You love each other.
Yeah. You know, it's there's a couple things. We're going to pray for you for sure. And I think you just heard wisdom just get dropped on you, right? Is the fact that, you know, that question, do they know? Right? Do they know? Here's the amazing thing about it is she just gave complete testimony of the fact it didn't matter if we knew. God knew. Mm-hmm. And not only did God know, man, God did work in Allison's life. Mad amounts of work, okay? But let me ask you this, okay? You made a couple great points. Number one is the fact that, I mean, just because you give your life to Jesus doesn't mean that the road doesn't have bumps, doesn't have issues, that sometimes you're not facing the bumps, the issues, no suspension in your car, and you're going uphill, right? Okay? That happens. And you talked about that. But let me ask you this. 5.5 years, you know, since you've been here, God was at work in your life before that. Is it worth following Jesus?
Definitely worth following Jesus. I think I said a few minutes ago, I'm finally happy for the first time in my life ever. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm 54, and to be happy for the first time probably when I was about 50. I mean, I couldn't truly say I was ever really happy, ever. So, yes.
Hey, so if you're part of Allison's gospel community, I'm going to ask you a favor of you. I want you to come up this way right now. And if you've got connection with Allison through women's study or, you know, some kind of connection that way, would you come up here as well? I want you to lay hands on Allison. I'm going to pray for us. Or pray for her particularly. And Allison, we're so grateful for you, and thank you for sharing your story with us, you know, this morning. Father, we rejoice in you. Father, we give you all glory and all praise and all honor for the story that you're writing in Allison's life. Father, a story that isn't just all fields and flowers, but Father, that we're in awe today that you can even use chapters of addiction, of cocaine use, Father, of just wandering away and hardness to you. And Father, you can even use those chapters to write a story that brings glory and honor to you. Father, we want to praise you for those providential moments that Allison even talked about. The fact that a counselor that had the same addiction issues that you just happened to have in her life, a roommate that just happened to have a Bible open and a daily bread devotional there to use to move the ball forward in Allison's life that way. Father, just the places you've put her and placed her that way, the platform that you've put her on. And Father, we give you glory and honor in that. We want to pray right now that you would provide the strength that Allison needs, that you provide for her needs in the day-to-day. Father, that you would continue to grow her spiritually. You would grow her emotionally. You would grow her relationally that way. But Father, I pray, and we pray together, that you would give her the desire of her heart. And that would be to use her story to encourage others that are dealing with addiction, dealing with just kind of that loss and that darkness of not quite knowing what horizon to move toward. Father, that you would use Allison in a mighty and dynamic way that way. Father, that you'd open doors. And Father, that you would give her those moments. And Father, that then others would tell the story of how you used Allison in their life to share the gospel message with them. So, Father, we're grateful for Allison. We're thankful for how she makes us better. And, Father, we're thankful, and we celebrate with her your handiwork and your activity in her life. We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the praise in the great name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Allison, thank you. Folks, as we move along to in the service, and we come to that place where we're going to go back to and sing here before we head downtown. Let me bring that question back up on the screen again if I can. What's happened yesterday or this last week in your journey with Christ that would cause you to celebrate? I mean, literally, if we made you come up and sit on a stool and share about the goodness of Jesus, what are you going to talk about? Okay? My challenge to us this morning, okay, is that not only would we take the minute or the time to write that thing down, but that you would take the time to go tell somebody about it. That you'd share with your spouse, you'd share with your kids, you'd share with somebody on the street. Doesn't really matter. But you take the moment to celebrate what it is that God's done in your life. All right? That you would take that moment to do that. As a matter of fact, what I want to do is this. We've got a couple minutes here. And this is kind of a little bit out of the norm for us. But maybe you're sitting here right now and you're saying, Jeff, I've got something that I want to share. Is there anybody like that? I mean, we'll just open this thing up. I've got a microphone. We'll bring it to you, I promise. You don't have to even come up front. Is there anybody who wants to share this morning? Gersh, there's a surprise. That's something new. All right. I know. And I just gave up the microphone.
Not only the microphone, but you gave up the stage. So
no, I did not do that.
No. Hey, first.
Come on, brother.
Hey, as you guys know, I just got a chance to go down to Nicaragua, and it was just an amazing time. I went down there unannounced. Only Junior and Javier knew that I was coming. And I had the opportunity to go around and knock on doors and just say, hey, happened to be in the neighborhood. Wanted to let you know I love you, that God loves you, that First Baptist loves you. You know, the folks down here that have gone down there and ministered in Nicaragua, and those who have sent in this body have made a difference down there. And I just want to thank you for that, because I go down there and I see the joy of the Lord that's on their faces and in their hearts. And you guys have played a role in that and continue to play a huge role in that. So I want to say thank you for that. But the most encouraging thing for me as I was down there is I had no interpreter. And so I played a lot with Google Translate. And sometimes Google no entiendo, which means it doesn't understand. So we've had some fun conversations. But the beautiful thing is one morning I was having a quiet time introducing the concept of a Bible study to Xiomara. She and I were sitting there, and she points out in her bilingual Bible where she's at in Jeremiah that morning with God. And tears filled my eyes as I turn over to 1 Corinthians and show her where I was at. It was the same concept, the same story, the same love of God being on display right there. Our Father showing us that he loves us, that he cares about the details, that he unifies us as the body of Christ, no matter where we're at. And so I was just really grateful for that. Thank you for your role down there.
That's awesome. Thanks, my man. That's good. Anybody else? You want to celebrate something God's done, the way he's worked in your life? Billy?
You know, I came here. I lived in Mancos 26 years, and I moved here a little over 2 years ago.
It's been enough to celebrate right
there. 3 years. Yeah. Amen, brother. 3 years today, the first Sunday I came in, you were doing this, the fifth graders and the seniors, and I was like, yeah, I was weighing out between here and another church, and it just hit me between the eyes. But, you know, yesterday I took a trip with Kari and Dwayne, and I've got to know Joy and Allison, and I've been able to plug in, and it's helped me. You know, I had surgery, I had this tumor under my brain, and that was easy. The radiation wasn't, and this helps. It keeps me busy. It keeps my head where it ought to be, and it reminds me of eternity. It reminds me of the hope that's in us and the important things to get through the daily stuff that's not important, and it reminds me of what is important. So thank you, First B, a bunch.
Billy, we celebrate with you. That's good. I mean, I don't know if you caught that, but Billy just kind of threw that out there like it's normal to have a tumor on your brain. And, you know, that he just, like, I went and had a tumor surgery, right? And, you know, God's healed this guy up and delivered him through that and been with him. And a lot of y'all have walked with him on that. And so we celebrate with you on that for sure, Billy. Somebody else want to celebrate this morning? Story? Right on. Guys, we're probably ready then, Mark.
So I don't really have much to say, but I just I do feel led to share that this past couple of months have been very filled with stress, with my cousin having cancer and my uncle getting hip replacement surgery, and now just this past Tuesday my grandma went through open heart surgery for a triple bypass. And with all of this, it's like I'm stressed and I don't know what to do, and I found myself skipping reading the Bible a couple nights, and I'm just like, is God even here? Is God even hearing me? And then I guess I just, the other night, like, not the other night, just like a couple nights ago or something, I was actually just like with Rebecca, and she prayed that God would help me find joy. And then I opened my Bible, and there was just a Bible plan. Like, I was on my tablet on the Bible app, and there was this program that just popped right out on my screen that's like how to find joy. And I clicked it, and it was like a 7-day reading program, and I read it all in one night and was like up to 1 a.m. But it really just like really that was just like God showing me that he is there. And so, yeah.
Sorry, man. That's good. That's good. Thanks, Stephanie. Hey folks, let me pray for us, and we're gonna sing. And just want to tell you again, thanks for coming out today. Thanks for celebrating with us, and we're excited to see where God's gonna take us and where he's gonna take us next. Father, we love you, we praise you, we give you all the glory. Thank you that it's in you and through you and for you that all things come together. God, I somehow pray, God, and ask that you would use this congregation of people to reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, use things like Taste of Durango. Father, please use an effort in Redemption Church to reach this community. Father, expand the influence and the impact of each individual person who calls First Baptist home in their jobs, in their schools, in their neighborhoods. Father, and God, what we would beg you for this morning is that you would stir our hearts, and Father, you would move us into this community with an intentionality and a passion, Lord, to see as many people as possible come to heaven. So, Father, we ask and we pray that you would use us for your honor and for your glory, and that this church could be used to build your kingdom. And we'll praise you and we'll thank you in the great name of Jesus. Amen.